Let's not, let's remember John Coke is also in our prayers. Yeah, maybe I will need to. what a man, John Coke says. Let's remember him in our prayers. Merry Christmas. When we say that, we're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That it's not, you know, it's not just an empty thing for us. I really don't care how anyone else looks upon it, or what they feel upon it, or how they feel about it, or how they want to advertise it. It's the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't really even care if it happened in December or not. It doesn't matter to me. It's the gift to our hearts that we keep, and that's what we celebrate. In this time of the season and the year, we think about gifts, and like we look at Psalms 127. Start out looking at what the Bible says about gifts and giving. And I brought two Bibles up here with me this morning. That's not because I'm going to read everything twice. It's just that I like some of the different way it's said in other translations or other readings of it. It says Psalms 127. I was thinking about gifts of the Lord, and it's a time of giving. It's a time where we give gifts to each other. Psalm 127 and verse 3. It says, children are a gift from God. They are His reward. Children born to a young man like sharp arrows are to defend him. Children born to a young man are like sharp arrows to defend him. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. That man shall have the help he needs when arguing with his enemies. What a gift. Those of us who have children, we look upon them as gifts to us. And, you know, you can do many things with the gift. You can mistreat it. You can, you know, I think we all have memories of we get a gift and within the hour we receive it, it's batteries are done and it's broken and we discard it and we go on to the next thing. But we're looking at the true gifts of God to us. And we're to keep in mind that our children, are a gift to God, to us. You say, well, that's nice, John, but I don't have any children. Yeah, but you're somebody's child. You're somebody's child also. And I think there's a thing that's within us that we can recognize each other as the children of God. That we're a gift, not only in the natural, our own children, but one another. We recognize one another as a gift. You're God's child. Scripture says in the book of John, if you'll turn to that real quickly, 1 John 5. First John 5, and it's verse 1. It says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God's Son and your Savior, then you are a child of God. And all who love the Father, what? Love his children too. Don't lose sight of the fact that we're to love the Father, but we're to love one another also. You know, in our house, our children bring their friends over, and it's like, well, if you're the friend of my son, or if you're a friend of my daughter, or you're my friend too. You know, we love you because you love our son or our daughter. You know, our son-in-law, Danny, he loves my daughter. I love him too. You know, that's good enough for me. We accept him too. And we show our love to one another with an understanding that, you know what, this is God's child. If we can understand that and see, how do I treat, what does the scripture say? How can we say we love God? What's that, John? Do you hate your brother? But in 1 John 5, he says, and all who love the Father love his children too. So you can find out how much you love God's children, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, by how much you love and obey God. Loving God means doing what he tells us to do. And really, that isn't hard at all. For every child of God can obey him, defeating sin and evil pleasure by trusting Christ to help him. We're to love one another. If we look in Romans, or excuse me, let's turn to John 3:16 first. We know all that. We know this scripture by heart. It may be one of the most quoted scriptures ever. And whenever you're leading someone to the Lord or sharing the Lord, seems to be the scripture that always comes out, you know, at the beginning of your walk with God, of your wonderful adventure, you know, of meeting the Lord and walking with him. And yet it's a scripture that we need to take heart of and take hold and hold in our hearts all the days of our lives. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We talk about gifts and we give thanks to each other. And when God looked and said, what is the best gift, the one thing I can give to the human race, he gave his Son. What greater gift is there? Well, you're talking about opening a gift this morning. Well, we're opened up a gift every morning in our hearts and in our lives. That the gift that God has given us, the greatest thing that he could have done, was given us his Son. That is the greatest gift that he could give to us. Think with God in all of his wisdom, all of his knowledge, all of his power, think about one thing to give to us. I'm going to give them my Son. And why? So that we may have eternal life. Do we understand what that means? That we have eternal life. That's the greatest gift he could have given us. And it's ours. That's the gift that we open. That's the gift. Remember when David, the psalmist, sinned and he cried unto the Lord in Psalm 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I think there's times where we think of salvation as one experience and then we just go on to another experience and another one and another one. We just open up these little gifts and try to, you know, get happiness from one little experience in the Lord to the next. But the real joy is the joy of his salvation. Think back when you opened that gift for the first time. When you asked Jesus into your heart to say, Lord, I believe in you. Change my life. Come into my life. The joy and the change that brought to you. That's the greatest gift. That's the thing that we hold on to. That's what we want God to restore into our lives. That joy of his salvation. Let's look at Romans 5 and 6. In the book of Romans, he talks about coming out from under the law and being justified in Christ. And I encourage you to read chapters 5 and 6 of Romans. But in chapter 5, verse 15, well, verse 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. It says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift a gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounding to many. The gift is not like that which came through one who sinned, for the one had the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. In verse 17 it says, "For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Do we see the gift that God has given us? There is nothing more in our lives than Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that means more than what he has, what does the scripture say? He has taken us from the life of death and what? Transported us, or taken us to his kingdom, brought us into his kingdom. What a greater thing is to be under the condemnation of death and have God come and give you a gift, and that gift is life. The one nice thing about this gift, or one of the nice things, is that it's free. It's the free gift of God. One of the things about gifts is it's free to the receiver. I didn't have to do anything to receive the gifts I received, you know, yesterday. They're just given to me. And it's the same thing with God. He gives it to us freely. In fact, the scripture says, in verse 6 of Romans 5, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And in verse 8, "For God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There's nothing better than someone showing up in the nick of time. It says, at the right time, Christ died. While we were utterly helpless, at the right time, Christ died for us. What a precious gift that he's given us. In verse 21, it says, "Even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 23, I'll end with this, Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." As we continue on this day, through this, the rest of this week, the rest of this year, the rest of our long lives, let's not forget about that free gift of God. It's eternal life. What a thing to have. What a fantastic, majestic thing to have in our lives, that God would come down and give us a gift of eternal life. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. And God, make real the gift that you've given us. We come and we say we know you, and that we desire to know you, to be known of you. Lord, let us not forget the gift that you've given us. Let us open that gift every day of our lives and be thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came at the right time and saved us. We're no longer enslaved to sin, but we live in his freedom, his spirit. Lord, we thank you this morning. Amen. Amen.
I have the fortune to own what's called the NIV Worship Bible. This was given to me by Carol O'Dell. And ever since I've had this Bible, it's been a real blessing. Some of the passages that are in the book are outlined with letters from the Lord called My Beloved. Okay, now this is one of the ones that refers to Christ dying for us. Okay, Who would you die for? Would you die for a stranger or for a wicked person? Would you die for someone who has hurt others? It is hard to think of someone dying for a righteous person, let alone for a sinner, as you once were, but that is what Jesus did. This is how I showed my love for you. While you were still a sinner, my son Jesus died for you. I sent my one and only son into the world that you might live through him. This is love. I do not wait for you to love me. I loved you first and sent my son as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. Jesus Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. I made him who had no sin to be sin for you, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. He himself bore your sins in his body on the tree, so that you might die to sin and live for righteousness. Your healing is a result of his wounds. So in him you have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of your sins, in accordance with the riches of my grace that I lavish upon you. Never forget what my son did for you. He defines love. Because of him, you are my child.
Now, the greatest love story is now coming forth in the earth. And the greatest love story is really being written in the tablets of your heart, in my heart. And I was thinking about, how am I responding to the greatest gift and the greatest love that could ever be shared? And each of us are experiencing things which are sometimes very, very difficult to explain. From changes within our bodies to family situations, to work situations, to relationships, etc., etc., a myriad of things that maybe God is bringing us through. But in the midst of all of this, the love story is being written in our lives. I was thinking, how am I responding to the unconditional love that Jesus Christ has shared with me? As we maybe ponder that and other things that the Spirit may witness to you now, we'll have the instruments play and we'll prepare the elements here. This is an open communion for all of those that would like to participate. It's an open communion for those who choose not to. That's fine as well. So we'll have just a few moments here to rest, to consider under the anointing the application of how this communion can touch each of our lives. All right. You can play. And